What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. I'm Chris Meany. A lot to get to on this show. We're going to run through some news, notes, and injuries. A lot of just scrub running backs getting a bigger role this week, widely available in a lot of leagues. I'll give you a sneak peek on where I have them ranked. Of course, you can check out all my rankings over at FTNFantasy.com, not just myself, Brad Evans, and Jeff Ratcliffe, as well as Ryan Noonan and Derek Brown. We have half-point rankings, full-point rankings, super flex rankings, you name it. We have it for you. Use that promo code MEANY, and you will get the rankings, not just this week, but for the rest of the fantasy football season. A lot to get to, as I mentioned. I'm going to run through those news, notes, and injuries. I got some picks and some props and several giveaways to talk about over at FTN. The GOAT, the best giveaway, I think, of all time. Let's be honest. Hang on. If you haven't yet heard about that giveaway, I'll tell you in just a few moments. This is episode 12, so I have to give some love to the greatest athletes of all time, to Rock 1-2. A lot of great quarterbacks, of course. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady come to mind. Two of the best all time, not just to wear 12, but in the NFL. But just looking at the number overall, I knew Roger Staubach and Jim Kelly wore number 12, but I kind of forgot about Terry Bradshaw and Joe Namath. A lot of greats to wear number 12 in the NFL under center. How about Michael Jordan? That's right. Michael Jordan wore number 12 for one game in 1990. He had his famous 23 jersey stolen from him before the game. It was Valentine's Day. He went out and rocked number 12, lit up the Orlando Magic, scored 49 points in 47 minutes. Lost the game anyways, but Michael Jordan wore number 12. Probably the best athlete currently in the NBA to wear number 12, LaMarcus Aldridge, but we've seen the best of him. Dwight Howard, D12, wore number 12 for a few years, but the best to wear number 12 in the NBA, besides Michael Jordan for that one night, John Stockton, who couldn't beat Michael Jordan. Roger Clemens also wore number 12, even though we don't know of him wearing number 12. Really, we don't think of him wearing number 12, but he did do it for a season. Roberto Alomar, used to be an Alomar fan until he spit in an umpire's face. Kind of lost a little bit of respect for him, but a great ball player nonetheless. Wade Boggs also wore number 12. Kenny Lofton, another beauty as well. Alfonso Soriano, remember him? Yeah, he also wore number 12. On the ice, a couple beauties. Jerome Iginla, Peter Bondra, Adam Oates. And then, of course, as you see over my shoulder, Dickie Moore and Yvonne Cornoyer. I was at the Bell Center, now the Molson Center. Well, it's now the Bell Center. It was the Molson Center. Let's get that out of the way. Yvonne Cornoyer had his number retired along with Dickie Moore. Both rocked number 12. I wanted to dedicate this episode to Yvonne Cornoyer just because I had the chance to meet him and he gave me the time of the day to interview him. And he dropped an F-bomb in the middle of my interview because Eddie Shack came in and was just ripping all the Habs legends. Was Guy Carboneau was there that night as well. Jock Lemaire. There was a few great Habs on the stage. And Eddie Shack just jumped in and was, "Where's that Rocket Richard? 12 minutes for looking too pretty." Yvonne Cornoyer just dropped the F-bomb and told him to get out. But it was all in good fun. So with that out of the way, let's get to the reason you're here, the goods, the meat of the show. And we're starting strong here because, man, my goodness, this is an absolute giveaway. I don't know if you've heard yet, but FTN giving away a PS5 to a lucky FTN subscriber. So you need to be subscribed. You see here, the customer appreciation raffle will end November 16th, Monday at midnight Eastern. It's going to be selected via random draw. So anybody can, you know, have a chance here to win this PS5. My goodness, just the best giveaway of all time, is it not? I want this. I wish that I could get this, but I can't. This is for you guys. And this is just really our appreciation for you subscribing over at FTN, being patient with a brand new company here in the middle of a pandemic. A lot has happened this year, and we're really just on our way to building something successful. And part of that reason is because of you guys. So this is the customer appreciation raffle. I don't think it gets any better than this, but I'm told that we will be giving away some monster stuff over the next few weeks, starting with a PS5. So you see there, you're going to get one ticket if you have a subscription over at FTNDaily.com under NFL DFS. FTNBets.com under NFL Bets. Of course, all PGA packages, any other sports, you're going to get one ticket. NBA DFS and NBA Bets and an NBA Saber Sim subscription, you're going to get three tickets for that. And then if you are part of the Diamond package, you're going to get yourself five tickets. So still time to subscribe if you would like. And that leaves me to this, because for $174.99, you're going to be able to get either FTNDaily.com or FTNBets.com under the NBA umbrella. So the early bird ends on Monday. It's basically a dollar a day from now on until the end of the NBA season. You're going to get all kinds of goodness from all the articles, all the player and ownership projections, premium content, tools, including NBA Advanced DVP plus on and off splits. And again, just a lot of goodness there from over at FTNDaily.com. So just $174, you're going to have all of the stuff, bets and DFS content. So you're going to want to get in on that. And plus, if you get it now, you're going to get the discount and cheap. It's like a dollar per day. And also, you're going to be able to get your name into that draw for the PS5. So keep an eye on all that stuff happening this week. And, you know, speaking of NBA, my guy Stefano at Big Money Play decided to write a full first round mock draft, the NBA draft just around the corner. So this is completely free to read over at FTNDaily.com, FTNFantasy.com. Check that out, and you could look for his bets over at FTNBets.com. Throughout the draft, he's going to have lots of cool bets. The giveaways don't stop there. Lots to get to, as I said. I host a show with my guy Matthew Davis, FTN Fabcast. It's once a week, every Tuesday. It's really just a look at the waiver wire, but for high-stakes players. But you can still get something out of it if you're not a high-stakes player. But we really just dig as deep as we can. We really touch on guys that are owned in fewer than 20% of leagues. And he's a high-stakes player. And I'd like to consider myself one, but not as much as this guy, Matty. And he knows what he's talking about. But what I'm trying to get to is that we purchased an Allen Robinson signed mini helmet from Pristine Auction, and we're giving away that to anybody who has screenshotted and sent over proof of subscribing to FTN Fabcast. So not so much this show, although I do appreciate you subscribing, rating, reviewing, and sending that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com, because I will be giving away something very similar on the next episode. But first, we're going to be giving away this Allen Robinson Chicago Bears signed helmet. All you have to do, you can check out the link in the show description in the bio on our YouTube page, but all you have to do is screenshot myself or Matty subscribing to iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is. But if it is on iTunes, rate, review, give the 5 stars, a little review there, just a one-liner, and DM to me or to Matty at Chris Meany, or you can just send it over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com. So as I mentioned, lots of stuff here that we're giving away. And man, I love it. I just, to give away a PS5 to somebody, I think is pretty cool, because I just know how much I would like a PS5. And I just know that that's not going to happen. So before we get into the meat of the show, I had the privilege to step in for Pat Mayo on Friday, FTN Live. You can go back and watch it Friday nights. It's usually with Kyle Murray, Derek Brown, Javi Perzello, and Pat Mayo, but I jumped in with them. It was a great discussion. It was cool. Those three guys are beauties. They're super sharp minds. We did mostly talk DFS. It's a DFS show, but we went game by game. We basically touched on every player. We kind of touched on game script, how we thought the games would go, and at the very end, we picked our favorite players by position, a few fades, just our strategy as well to attack week 10 from a DFS standpoint. So if you do have a subscription over at FTNDaily.com, you know all about that show. But if you want to check it out, and again, I've said this before, this is the time of the year where, you know, you're either in it or you're out. You're really just battling, and unfortunately your season could be over. You want to continue to play some DFS. Well, you can head, or just play some fantasy sports in general, have something on the line. You can head on over to FTNDaily.com. Use that promo code Meany, and you'll be able to get not just my stuff, but absolutely everybody's stuff. Kyle Murray's ownership projections as well to help you out. But a lot of articles, a lot of daily tools, a lot of stuff going on at FTN. All right. Good luck, by the way. if you're going to win that PS5. Hopefully it's from, listening to this show, because I'm selfish like that. All right. News, notes, and injuries. Let's start up at the top. David Johnson is not going to play, and he's not going to play for the next 3 weeks. He's been placed on IR. So this is Duke Johnson's backfield for the next couple of weeks. He had a career-high 16 rushing attempts in week 9 and finished with a season-high 41 rushing yards. Now, he's not a between-the-tackles runner. He's only had double-digit carries in 5 games in his NFL career. Last week was his first time getting double-digit carries since 2017. He wasn't great in that game either. He had 2.6 yards per rushing attempt. He fumbled near the goal line, but there was just nobody else there. So he got the ball again, and he ran one in. He ended up finishing as a top 10 running back despite that fumble. It was a very weak running back performance in week 9. There weren't a lot of great performances besides Dalvin Cook. So that's why he finished up near the top. But it's just not a great season for running backs in general. I was taking a look at David Montgomery and Jonathan Taylor as guys that were top 20 running backs heading into this week, and really, they haven't done a whole lot. They haven't been great running backs this season, so it's been a struggle, but volume is king, whether you believe in Duke Johnson or not. I personally don't. I don't think he's all that good of a running back, but he's going to step into what is a tough matchup against Cleveland. A lot of wind in that game, too. Look, 25 miles per hour plus. That's not going to be great for the quarterback. So you could see Duke get about 12 carries, and he caught 4 balls last week, so he could get about 4 or 5 catches as well. So you can't ignore volume. 17 opportunities, I think, is probably the floor for Duke. He could flirt with about 20. So I view him as a top 15 running back in a tough matchup this week, but he's going to get a lot of opportunity. Justin Jackson also placed on IR, so he's going to be out for the next 3 weeks. We saw Kalen Ballage lead the Chargers with 15 rushing attempts and 69 rushing yards last week. Oh, so nice. He scored a rushing touchdown. He caught 2 of the 3 targets thrown his way for 15 yards. Now, Joshua Kelly played 52% of the snaps compared to Ballage's 41%. But again, he struggled to find any efficiency in the run game, 3.1 yards per carry. I think it's going to be Ballage, followed by Kelly, followed by Tremaine Pope. It's not great. I don't have any of these guys ranked as top 30 running backs. I would go Ballage first. I lean him. I got him as RB31. I got Kelly as RB33. I have Pope way down the list in the early mid-40s in full-point PPR settings. This is not great. Like I said, it's a sticky situation. Justin Herbert's been throwing the ball more. I think this benefits Herbert and all the passing guys in Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Hunter Henry as guys that are going to get catches. But revenge, anybody? Ballage? All he had to do is get away from Adam Gase to look decent. Dave Montgomery also ruled out this weekend. Not on IR, but dealing with concussion. That's on Monday night. Ryan Nall didn't get any carries last week, but he caught 4 balls. Cordell or Patterson is going to be involved. And Lamar Miller potentially. Remember him? Lamar Miller? He could potentially be activated and get involved as well. The big news of the week in Chicago is that Matt Nagy handed the play calling duties to Bill Lazor. Bill Lazor used to be the offensive coordinator in Miami back in the day, a few years ago. His running back at the time, Lamar Miller. I saw my guy Nando DeFino tweet that, so I can't take credit, even though Nando, I knew that. But what I wanted to say is what Nando had tweeted. Probably just a coincidence. I don't think that Miller is going to just all of a sudden be activated and get 20 touches. We haven't seen him play since 2018. It's been a long time. And frankly, he's not all that good. But at least we do know that Bill Lazor is familiar with Lamar Miller. And, they're comfortable with each other and they know what to expect in terms of play calling. So that's a little interesting. Null to the pickup. Miller in super, super deep leagues. If I had to play any of them this week, it would be Ryan Nall. I have him ranked as a top 25 running back, so I like him slightly more than the Chargers guys, but not as much as Duke and not as much as Giovanni Bernard because Joe Mixon is ruled out. Again, what did I say in the last episode? The top 3 running backs dropped last week. Boston Scott, Mike Davis, and Giovanni Bernard. 2 of the 3 are still starters in the NFL, so you can't just overreact and just start cutting guys. This is the time of the year that you want to have these handcuffs. You want to head into the fantasy football playoffs, probably with 2 quarterbacks, just in case something happens. You don't want to be picking up a quarterback and just having to stream that guy. You want to play the matchups. You want to have 2 quarterbacks, maybe 2 tight ends, because you can't be scrambling, and then handcuffs. Protect your investments and just have guys handcuffed in case, an injury happens. You don't have to just go to the waiver wire. People are running low on fab. You don't want to have to just bid a bunch of money on Gio. You want to already have Gio. And in the 2 weeks that Mixon missed, Gio was great. 13 for 37, 5 catches for 59 yards in week 7. 15 for 62, 3 catches for 16 yards in week 8. He had 3 total touchdowns over those 2 games, a receiving TD in both. So not a great matchup against the Steelers. He hasn't had great matchups over the past couple games that he's played. But again, volume is key. He's probably going to get 4 or 5 targets. Joe Burrow's dropping back a ton. The offensive line has issues, so that's going to be tough for Gio to really find a lot of success running between the tackles against a stout run defense in Pittsburgh. But again, if they get down near the goal line, he's going to get those touches, and he's already had those 2 receiving touchdowns in back-to-back games. CMC is out. We don't need to get into that anymore. Mike Davis is what it is. Tough matchup, but again, lock and loaded, top 15 running back, going to get a lot of volume through the air as well. Miles Sanders is going to make his return after missing a couple games. He's been out for 3 weeks with the bye week there. He looks fully rested. He was in pads on Wednesday. Alshon Jeffrey is going to make his season debut. By no means you should start Alshon Jeffrey, but this is good for Carson Wentz. Another weapon. He's also going to get Lane Johnson, arguably the best left tackle in the game on the offensive line. So he's going to have a lot of healthy bodies back. Jalen Reagor now is going to have game number 2 since missing a bunch of time. Dallas Goedert, game number 2 since missing a bunch of time. So all of a sudden, these Philadelphia Eagles are getting healthy at the right time. Nick Chubb activated. He is going to play this weekend, and I would trust him. I got him as a top 10 running back. He is upside to be a top 5 running back in this matchup. It's phenomenal against Houston. We know Cleveland likes to run the ball. Kareem Hunt, a top 15 running back still. He was great when Chubb was on the field. They both got theirs. They're both top 15 running backs in great spots. Devonta Freeman is out. Wayne Gallman has a touchdown in 3 straight games. He had a great game against the Eagles when Freeman left. I believe it was week 8. He caught 5 balls. He looked fresher. He has looked like a decent running back over the past couple weeks. But of course, you still have Deion Lewis in there. I got Wayne Gallman as a top 40 running back. You could do worse if he's your flex. That's not bad. Kenny Drake is questionable. He's a true game time decision. I would play Chase Edmonds regardless. I don't think you have to play Kenyon Drake. But if he does play, I got him ranked as a top 30 running back. I have Chase Edmonds as a top 20 running back. You know how I feel about Edmonds. I like this spot against the Bills. He's been good with Drake on the field. Even if he just gets 40% of the snaps and 12 touches, he could still turn out to be an RB2 for you. Edmonds, that is. Again, check out the rankings, but I have Drake as a top. I got it written down here right now just to give you the goods. I got him as RB25. So I like him more than Nall, who I have at 30, actually. Balaj, I have at 31. I have Kelly at 32. And then we'll get to the Seattle boys here now because Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde are not going to play. Travis Homer, I have at 34. And then DJ Dallas, I have at 39. So I've given you all the goods right there. But if you want the full ranking, because again, FTNFantasy.com, where you can check out the real goats and Jeff Ratcliffe and Brad Evans. The reason I like Homer more is because of his usage through the year. So Homer had 6 carries for 16 yards, 3 grabs for 64, only played 46% of the snaps only, but that was more than DJ Dallas, who played 31%. Dallas also involved through the year, caught 2 balls for 8 yards, 7 carries for 31 yards. It's Dallas who's probably going to get the touchdown, though, so it's super close. That's why I have these guys side by side, but I lead Homer because he played more snaps, he's running more routes, he's more involved through the air. But what I've noticed over the past couple weeks, though, Chris Carson, now mind you, 2 weeks ago, Homer was on the sidelines. DJ Dallas had a couple red zone opportunities, 2 he converted for touchdowns. But again, last week, it was red zone opportunities, 3 for Dallas and 1 for Homer. So that's why Dallas got the touchdown. So it's super tight, but I would lean Homer. But both of these guys, like I said, are top 40 running backs. It's really tough. Hopefully these guys are just flex plays for you. But with no Montgomery and Justin Jackson out and Carlos Hyde out another week and CEH out this week and Frank Gore, you weren't starting Frank Gore, but Todd Gurley, right? So there's a few injuries out there and running backs on byes. Matt Breida, don't know about him. If he is active, I would rank him. I would go Breida, John J. Washington, Jordan Howard. These guys are all going to be involved. Salvon Ahmed was involved last week. Howard's going to be that vulture guy, but I think if Breida plays, potentially he could get that goal line work. If Breida doesn't play, I think the sneaky play this week is DeAndre Washington. They signed him or they traded for him a couple weeks ago, trade deadline day, and he was on the COVID list because of the trade, so he couldn't play last week. But they acquired him for a reason. Part of that is Miles Gaston is out, but you know, Braid is obviously dealing with something, and Howard is just, I mean, Howard had an opportunity last week and couldn't even average a yard per carry. I mean, he's just brutal, but he is that threat to get the touchdown. I don't like any of these guys except for Braid. If Braid plays, I'll probably have him ranked as a top 40 running back, just probably ahead of DJ Dallas, but I'd play Homer and Nall and definitely Edmonds and Drake and Ballage over him. All right, so those are all the scrub running backs, so you're going to get an opportunity. Jeez, you're fighting for your playoff lives, and you could be rolling out dust this week. But it is what it is. Sticking with running backs, Mark Ingram, questionable. Don't know if he's going to play. I would lean no, and then you could just continue to roll out Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Decent spots this week against the Pats. But Dobbins got the higher ceiling, but Edwards is that guy who is going to get those goal line touches, as we talked about in the last episode. He had the fumble. Didn't matter. Harbaugh went back to him anyways. He's getting a lot of play. Kenny Golladay out. Debo Samuel out. Golden Tate out. Laviska Shenault questionable. Don't think he's going to play. If he plays, you need to find another player anyways. You can't roll him out. TJ Hawkinson questionable. Hopefully he plays. Have a lot of TJ Hawkinson. But we'll talk about a couple tight ends. Austin Hooper is one that maybe you could roll out there. Jordan Reed is another one just in case Hawkinson doesn't play. I expect Reed to be a little bit more involved. Irv Smith had the two touchdowns last week. He's not going to play. Groin injury. Big Ben will play. Activated. Jair Alexander looking like doubtful. That's good news for DJ Chark, who had 31% of Jake Luton's targets last week and over 100 yards and a touchdown. And then Joey Bosa is out. So ton of injuries, a ton of news and notes. Make sure you check out those rankings over at ftnfantasy.com for the latest. So before we get to some picks and some props, I wanted to run through some trade targets for you. Your deadline could potentially be already over this weekend or another week there behind. So I'll just kind of run through this quickly. If you are subscribed over at ftnfantasy.com, you already know this because I write the trade target article on Wednesday. But I really just kind of wanted to roll through just a couple players and, you know, teams that have the best matchups just in case you didn't have the goods. So quarterback, best matchups through week 14 to 16. Tampa Bay, they got Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit. The Chargers, Atlanta, Vegas, Denver, Baltimore, Cleveland, Jacksonville, the Giants, the Rams, New England, Jets, and Seattle, and Chicago, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville. The worst matchups for quarterbacks from week 14 to 16, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, Chicago, New Orleans. You weren't going to play Kirk Cousins anyways. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Denver, and New England. There's a chance you could flip Josh Allen. You've got the bye next week, and then Pittsburgh week 14. I don't love that. New England, they got the Rams, Miami, and Buffalo. You shouldn't be starting Cam Newton anyways unless you're in a super flex, and then you probably just roll him out. But those are tough spots in single standard leagues. Houston, Chicago, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati. So that matchup, Chicago week 14, is actually in Chicago. So that's not ideal for Deshaun Watson. It is Watson. I understand rolling him out. Detroit, they have Green Bay, Tennessee, and Tampa Bay. I would just move on from Stafford anyways. I don't think you can feel great about starting him. But I wanted to just kind of pair up Tampa here with, you know, the running backs and the quarterback situation and the wide receiver situation. So when you look at Tampa Bay overall and you see Minnesota, Atlanta, those are teams that you can run on. Those are teams that you can throw on. So Tom Brady, and I think my favorite Tampa wide receiver would be Chris Godwin. So Chris Godwin is just safe. He's got that role inside the slot. Mike Evans is so touchdown dependent. We don't know about Antonio Brown. He's only played one game in a long, long time. He's a bit of a head case. So we just, you know, he's a little bit harder to trust. But you see, you know, for wide receivers, I mean, this is really good. Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit. So I think Tom can be had. I think Chris Godwin could be had. I think Leonard Fournette could be had. I think all three of these guys can be picked up, you know, not off the waivers, obviously, but picked up in the trade market, because only if teams are scrambling. Because if you see coming up, you got the bye, week 13, you need that win on week 13 to get into the playoffs. And it could just be where an owner wants, you know, somebody to start week 13, and it's, you know, it's slim pickings on the waiver wire. So there's an opportunity there is to maybe get in on some of these Tampa guys. You know, other than that, Herbert, you're not going to be able to get. Jared Goff is pretty risky. If you picked him up and you're rolling him this week, you know, he's an option that you can continue to roll out. Maybe you play him against New England and then the Jets in Seattle. So those are pretty decent matchups for Jared Goff. I know it's really risky rolling him out, but, you know, I would probably consider it as opposed to Josh Allen, where, again, you ride the guys that got you where they got you. And if you have Josh Allen, you're probably in a pretty good spot. But if you're just hovering around that playoff cut line, you could maybe have picked up Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, good spots this week and moving forward. And then you don't have to worry about the bye on week 11. And then you don't have to worry about that tough matchup week 14. I'll admit, I have Josh Allen. I don't really want to roll him out week 14 in Pittsburgh. I don't feel great about it. I'm going to do it in some spots. And others, I'm going to roll out Jared Goff or Carson Wentz. Or I've tried to make that trade, Allen for Brady. I'm close to doing it in one league. Those are just options. Now, you don't need to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. If you're in a good spot, you're fine. Just like I said, set yourself up for week 14 and 16. I mentioned the running back matchups, the best possible ones. I mentioned Tampa Bay, but Tennessee also a great one. Jacksonville, Detroit, Green Bay. Derrick Henry is probably a guy that you're not going to be able to get unless you overpay, but good matchups for Henry. Green Bay, Detroit, Carolina, and Tennessee. Good matchup for Jones. Make sure Jamal Williams is rostered in case anything happens to Jones. He's already missed some time. Chicago, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville. So those are great matchups for David Montgomery, who maybe is a little bit of a risky buy now that he's already ruled out, but you can probably get him for peanuts if you want to roll the dice. But the guy that you really want is Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, those matchups are absolutely phenomenal. Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville. Allen Robinson's just been an absolute beauty for a long, long time now. Go back to his days against when he was a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars, when he had double-digit touchdowns. Last year, getting poor quarterback play, he was a top 10 running back as well. He has at least 5 catches or 70 yards in 8 of his 9 games, so there's a nice floor there. Nick Foles has looked his way a ton. Chicago has the bye week 11. They have Green Bay week 12. So it's possible that the owner is, again, fighting for a playoff spot, so you could take advantage of him knowing the playoff schedule is great, but from here on out, it's not so great. So if you're up near the top, you can afford to have that bye week. You can take that on. You can take on the potential tough matchup against Jaire Alexander in week 12 just to get Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, and Jacksonville from week 12 on. So Allen Robinson, I consider one of the best buy low candidates in all of football. And he's not even really a buy low because he's been good, but I know he has that stink around him because he's a member of the Chicago Bears. So back to running backs, Chicago, Indianapolis, Miami. It's just really tough to figure out Miami. I think you could maybe buy Myles Gaskin. He could return then week 14, but it's super risky. But again, a guy that's going to be very, very cheap for you. As for the Colts, Vegas, Houston, and Pittsburgh. Do you even want Jonathan Taylor anymore? You probably don't want Jonathan Taylor anymore. It's tough to figure out which guy is going to be the guy in this backfield. I said before, Frank Reich likes to use all of these running backs, and Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines. A little bit more involved last week than Jonathan Taylor, certainly Hines, and Hines looked really good. I would take the shot on Taylor if he's just going to be your flex guy and you're just taking on that shot. It's really all about context and who's on your team. You take a look at your squad. Are you rolling out an absolute dud week 14 flex? You know, Taylor could be okay for you week 14 against Vegas. Again, not going to cost you a whole lot. A little bit of a risky move. But if you like to gamble and you're up near the top, you can get him right now for next to nothing. I can guarantee you that. Wide receivers, I mentioned already Chicago with one of the best schedules from week 14 to 16. The Rams, probably not going to get any of these guys, but I have a sleeper a little bit later on. Josh Reynolds, just give it to you now, but I'll talk about him in a little bit more. New England, the Jets, and Seattle. Tampa Bay, already touched on it, but Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, Baltimore, Cleveland, Jacksonville, and the Giants. And the Jets, Seattle, Rams, and Cleveland. Breshad Perriman in deeper leagues. Denzel Mims, Jameson Crowder. These are guys that are just going to get a lot of targets during those games, especially against Seattle. They're just going to have to throw. Cincinnati, Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Houston. Probably not going to be able to get Boyd or T. Higgins, but those are the guys I really like. And in deep, deep, deep leagues, A.J. Green may be all right against the Cowboys and the Texans. So pretty good spots there. The worst matchups for wide receivers through 14 and 16, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, Chicago, and New Orleans. I would hang on to Adam Thielen, but I would probably deal Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson has a pretty good schedule from here on out before playoffs, so he could help you get to fantasy football playoffs, but he is not going to be able to. I don't know if I feel great bringing. I'm just bringing up his schedule right now on the fly. I thought I had this for you. My apologies. But so Chicago this week, Dallas, Carolina, and Jacksonville after that. That's really, really good. So Justin Jefferson is one of those guys who can help you get to the playoffs. But if you already have him and you're in a playoff spot, you could maybe deal him to a desperate owner and maybe get somebody who is in a better spot, like an Allen Robinson, right? So Justin Jefferson, maybe you deal him now. You got Allen Robinson on that week 12 against Green Bay, and then the bye week, week 11, and the owner needs somebody right now, Justin Jefferson. It doesn't seem like a fair trade one for one. You may have to add something as well to get Allen Robinson. But you tell the owner, look, you can get Justin Jefferson against Dallas, Carolina, and Jacksonville, and then you get out of that Tampa Bay, Chicago, New Orleans matchup, because the Saints are legit, Tampa's legit, and Chicago's pretty good defense as well. You get out of those matchups for the playoffs, and then you have Allen Robinson's cake easy schedule, throughout the playoffs. So just something to bring up in Justin Jefferson and in just what is some really just tough matchups for him in, you know, the playoffs. And just, I don't know if I would really want to start him there. Back over to other guys who have some tough matchups here. Where is that article? Come on. All right, here it is. Tough matchups, again, at the wide receiver position, as we just kind of wrapped it up after Minnesota, was Carolina and Houston and New England. Seattle also is in there, but you're not going to get rid of Lockett or Metcalf. You're just going to play those guys. Atlanta in there as well, Tampa Bay and KC. You're just going to play Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley if he is back. Carolina, I could see moving on from maybe DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson. They got the bye week in 13. And then Denver, Green Bay, and Washington. Those three defenses have been pretty good against the pass. So those are some sell-high candidates as well. So just to kind of recap, Brady I would buy. Lamar Jackson I would buy. Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. These are guys I would buy. Justin Herbert. Running backs, Jonathan Taylor. Again, you have to be in a really good spot. David Montgomery, Derrick Henry, Leonard Fournette. These are guys I would buy. Wide receiver, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Devontae Parker, more on him in a little bit. Jarvis Landry, same thing, more on him in a little bit. Emmanuel Sanders, he just has a really good schedule from here until the playoffs. Get Atlanta twice, so that's why I like Emmanuel Sanders. You could even pick him up off the waiver wire. Marquise Brown is a bit of a risky buy. So is Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews, because they haven't been elite this year like they were last year. But good matchups. Cleveland, Jacksonville, and the Giants. That's about as good as it gets. Got the Cowboys week 13 as well. I would only suggest buying those guys if you have solid floor players in your lineup. Guys that eat up a lot of targets. You know that they're going to get you double-digit fantasy points every single week. Then you got a guy, Marquise Brown, who, you know, is that boom player. He could blow up any single week. We really haven't seen it yet, just once. But he could blow up and he could win you a week alone. And he's probably going to do it in a matchup against Dallas week 13 or Cleveland week 14, Jacksonville week 15, the Giants week 16. So you can get him again for peanuts. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, you're probably not going to be able to get them, but I like them. Terry McLaurin, Travis Fulgham, Tyler Boyd, Jalen Reagor, Noah Fant, Hunter Henry, and then I already mentioned Mark Andrews as well. Guys that would drop quickly, Newton, Big Ben, Stafford, Bell, Hasty, Adrian Peterson, Michael Pirine, Preston Williams, RIP, Henry Ruggs, see you later, Laviska Shenault, Tre'Quan Smith, T.Y. Hilton, Dez Bryant, what are you waiting for, Dalton Schultz, and Harrison Bryant. If you're in a deeper league, you have to start two tight ends. I understand Harrison Bryant, he's still going to be involved, but in standard 10 or 12 team leagues, you can't roll him out there because Austin Hooper is back. Guys that would sell, consider selling, Josh Allen, Chase Edmonds, Melvin Gordon, Duke Johnson. I'd probably maybe keep Duke if you need him now that he's probably going to be the guy for 3 weeks. But if you don't, sell him to a desperate owner. Jordan Wilkins, Nyheim Hines, DJ Dallas, Kalen Ballage is your guys. Again, desperate owners. Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, DJ Chark, just coming off that big week. I like him, but now's the time. DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Marvin Jones, Christian Kirk, Michael Gallup, Jared Cook, and Robert Tonyan. And guys that would hold in super flex leagues, Ryan Tannehill, Andy Dalton, Zach Moss, Ronald Jones, you just don't know what could happen to Fournette, J.D. McKissick, Boston Scott, Giovanni Bernard, you just don't know. Again, Jamal Williams, Michael Brown, Devin Singletary, Latavius Murray, Alexander Mattison, Gus Buss, and Corey Davis, Jacoby Myers, Darnell Mooney, and Jameson Crowder, as well as Dallas Goedert. Okay, so hopefully that helped you out a little bit. You may have just skipped forward if your trade deadline had already passed and you're waiting for the bets and the picks. But I will quickly, again, just roll through week 10. These are the teams on bye: Jets, KC, Dallas, Atlanta. Target those players if you could get them. Desperate owners. Week 11, San Fran, Giants, Chicago, Buffalo. You know, really not a whole lot there. Diggs, potentially you want him. You're probably not going to be able to get him. The guy leads the league in targets, catches, and yards. But like I said, Allen Robinson, David Montgomery, potentially. Week 12, no buys. Week 13, Tampa and Carolina. So if you need to, you need to have these bye weeks planned right now and the playoffs. So if you need somebody in your lineup week 13, you probably need to move on from somebody on Tampa and Carolina if you have them. If you want them, go get them, because, you know, like I said, desperate times, people are going to be able to make these moves. From week 11 and week 12, best playoff schedules. This is what I've come up with. Baltimore, they have Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Dallas, as I already mentioned. Carolina, Detroit, Minnesota, but the bye. Cincinnati, Washington, Giants, Miami, Cleveland, Philly, Jacksonville, Tennessee. That's real nice. Indy has Green Bay, Tennessee, Houston, but they have Vegas and Houston in the playoffs. Michael Pittman, he looks like the best wide receiver in Indy for sure. Jacksonville's Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Minnesota, not ideal, really. Pittsburgh you can throw on, but still tough. The Chargers have the Jets, Bills, and Pats, but it gets real nice in the playoffs. Atlanta, Vegas, and Denver. The Rams, Tampa, San Fran, Arizona. Semi-tough, but nice in the playoffs. Pats, Jets, and Seattle. Vegas has a pretty good schedule after this week. KC, Atlanta, and the Jets. Indy, Chargers, and Miami. For Miami, they have Denver, Jets, Cincy, KC, New England, and Vegas in the playoffs. Minnesota, as I mentioned, Dallas, Carolina, Jacksonville, real, real nice. It's good for Jefferson. It's good for Thielen. But then it gets super tough. Tampa, Chicago, and the Saints. It's enough for me to move on from Jefferson. He hasn't been doing a whole lot anyways. The Saints have Atlanta, Denver, and Atlanta. That's why I mentioned Sanders. Really good matchups leading up to the playoffs. Philadelphia, Cleveland, Seattle, Green Bay, and then the playoffs, Saints, Arizona, Dallas. So some pretty good ones in there. Seattle has Atlanta, Arizona, Philly, and the Giants, and then nice in the playoffs, Jets, Washington, the Rams, a bit tough, but you start those studs. Washington is Cincy, Dallas, Pittsburgh, not bad. Really all you care about is Terry McLaurin, and then San Fran, Seattle, Carolina in the playoffs. All right, let's get to the picks. Let's get to the props. We'll start up with the props. I'm really feeling the props lately. 4 for 5 last week. I had a 6 for 6 week, 3 weeks ago. This is honestly where a lot of my money is going to on Sundays for props. I like to parlay these. I like to just single grab them. You see here, Jarvis Landry, over 3.5 receptions. He has at least 4 grabs in 6 games this year. He had 11 targets in his very last game. No Odell Beckham Jr. in that game. No OBJ in the game this week. I know Hooper is coming back. I know he's going to play, but this is just too low. I expect Landry to get 4 targets. I know it's going to be a windy game, but I still think he'll get those 4 grabs. I believe he's going to get, you know, anywhere from 7 to 8 targets. I know it's going to be potentially run heavy from Cleveland, but when they throw the ball, I think that they throw it to Landry, and I like the over 3.5. Parker, over 4.5 grabs. I was taking a look at Parker last year with Preston Williams and without Preston Williams, using some of the split tools over at FTNDaily.com. And as you see here, it's just, and this is, I'm not breaking news here, and Preston Williams is on IR, but Parker's a guy that he averaged 9.5 targets, 5.5 catches, and 100 yards per game over the final 8 games last season without Preston Williams. And in 8 games with Preston Williams, he averaged 6.5 targets, 3.5 catches, and 50 yards per game. So his yardage doubled. He had 2 more catches per game and 3 more targets per game. I know the offense is slightly different. I know it's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's Tua Tagovailoa. I get that. I understand that. But the fact remains the same, and it's the volume. He's going to get volume. He's going to be the number one option. It's a tough matchup. 4.5 catches, he's probably going to get double-digit targets for sure. So he just needs to reel in half of those. Jakeem Grant is interesting at 2.5 catches, and Mike Gesicki is interesting at 3.5 catches as well. I think they probably all go over that number. Miles Sanders is back this week, as I alluded to, over 54.5 rushing yards. He should see a full workload. He looks healthy. He returned to practice on Wednesday in pads. He has a healthy 6.1 yards per attempt, is one of the top marks in all of football. I mentioned Lane Johnson back on that offensive line as well. And this year, some of his rushing totals so far this season, 95 yards, 95 yards, 46 yards, 80, and 118. And he's done it against some really tough teams. Last week, we had the over on Jerry Jeudy. He had a catch prop total at 3.5. We kind of laughed and joked that it was way too low. He ended up having a career high day where he had 7 catches and 125 yards. He also scored a touchdown. He has 11 grabs on 24 targets and 198 yards in his past 2 games. This is just a catch prop total that's too low. I got it at plus 120. It's still plus money, plus 100, DraftKings Sportsbook. So the fact that he had that big game and it only jumped up one catch is beyond me. But, you know, according to our free air yards tool over at ftndaily.com, Jeudy leads the NFL in air yards since week 8, 355 air yards. He also leads all wideouts who have at least 13 targets. An average depth of target, 14.79. Jeudy has received 49% of Drew Lock's targets over the past 2 games. That's the 3rd highest mark in the NFL. And this is a great spot against the Las Vegas Raiders. They rank in the bottom 10 in terms of passing yards allowed. And overall, the worst defense overall, according to Football Outsiders. So not a great defense, certainly not a great passing defense. You can run on them as well. But this is a good spot for Drew Lock and Jerry Jeudy to pad the stats. I'm looking forward to that. Ruggs versus Jeudy, 2 Alabama teammates, highly touted wide receivers coming into the draft. Ruggs went first. Jeudy went second. Lamb went third. Looks like Ruggs is so far the bust, but you know, I just feel like you can put almost anybody on the Vegas Raiders and it's going to be the same sort of deal. They want to run the football and, you know, use Darren Waller. Like, it just, Ruggs is just not in a good spot. They don't chuck. They don't throw. So it's, we haven't really been able to see his full potential yet. Keenan Allen, 6.5 is the over on his catch prop. This is plus money too. Plus 100 at BetMGM. He's averaging 8.2 catches per game with Justin Herbert under center. Like this matchup. I know it seems high at 6.5, but Vegas just hasn't adjusted. It's been 5.5, 6.5 for weeks now. I just keep hammering the over. And, you know, if you continue to do so, you're going to get, you know, hopefully you're going to be able to get some money out of that. So over to the picks board before we get out of here. A few picks. Because it is an interesting week. We got Duke, the revenge spot against Cleveland. Kyler versus Allen. It's going to be a nice little bit of a shootout there. John Brown revenge against Arizona as well. Bellage mentioned the revenge there against his former team in Miami. Ruggs versus Jeudy. Seattle and the Rams. Burrow, how's he going to be able to, how's he going to be able to adjust really against that front in Pittsburgh? They generate a ton of pressure. They can get after the quarterback. They're going to be blitzing nonstop. So, a lot of different avenues to go here in terms of picks. I have I've went with a little bit of some favorites on the spreads. I get the Vikings against the Bears -3, Baltimore against the Pats -7. I just don't think the Pats can do a whole lot on offense. They were losing the Jets for goodness sake last week, and then the Saints 9.5. I don't love this one, but it's plus money at you can go plus money at PointsBet for 10. But I think the Saints defense is legit. They're fully healthy on offense and on defense. And San Fran is not. They're getting some guys back. No Debo Samuel. Still no Mostert back. And no Jimmy Garoppolo back. Missing some guys on defense. So I think the Saints have their way with the 49ers. On the money line, I jumped on the Eagles -3. Better odds. I did that earlier in the week. You follow FTNBets.com, FTN Alerts on the Twitter machine. You're going to be able to get those best bets right away. That line has jumped up to 4 now. But you can get it at -180 using our free parlay calculator. You can get the best odds available using that parlay calculator. I like Cleveland on the money line. I just think windy game, better defense, and they're going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. You're going to have a lot of success running the football against this Houston defense. They haven't been able to stop the run all year long. You got Chubb back, a great 1-2 punch, probably the best 1-2 punch in all of football between Chubb and Hunt. And so they're going to run the rock there. And I think that's going to be the difference. And then I like Vegas, divisional matchup. You know, this is, I usually kind of stay away from these, but Vegas is a really good team, underrated team, I think. The defense is not great, but the offense is good. Derek Carr takes care of the football. A 69 completion percentage, he only has 2 picks, 16 touchdowns. They run the rock really well there. And then the other side of things, Drew Lock just, you know, he turns the ball over a ton. He just, He's got a pick in five straight games. He's done some good things over the past couple of weeks. You know, he had three touchdowns last week, three the week before that. He had a career high in terms of passing yards last week and rushing yards. But I just look overall and I see a guy in Carr who doesn't turn the ball over. And I see a guy in Lock who does turn the ball over. And, you know, that's really the difference for me. I think it'll be a tight game. I think it could be a field goal game. But I think it comes down to, you know, who makes the play at the end. And just like last week, it was Vegas making the play at the end. Over to the over-unders. Philadelphia, I just think this is too low. 45.5. These two teams played week 8. Both teams lived inside the red zone. There was a lot of mistakes inside the red zone. And Philly really lived inside the red zone and had a lot of turnovers there and couldn't get anything done. I mentioned all the guys coming back in the lineup. I just think that both teams score here. I think they both probably get to at least 20. So that's going to flirt with that number. I see like a 28-21 game, 28-24 potentially. So I think we get to that number. Then we get to this number too, Seattle and the Rams, 53.5. You know, the Rams defense really, really good, but Russell Wilson's going to get to 20 plus points. It's just the way it is. And the Rams are going to be able to score 20 plus points for sure. So I see both of these teams potentially getting to 30. You know, six different quarterbacks have had 300 yards against Seattle this year. I know Jared Goff is not great. He's not a great real life quarterback, but everybody else is doing it. Cam Newton almost threw for 400 yards against them. So Goff can certainly do it with some of the weapons that he has at his disposal. And 17 different wide receivers have at least 70 yards against Seattle this year too. So hammer the over on the Cup and the Woods props as well. And then Houston and Cleveland, this one has dropped. It may just drop again before Sunday kickoff. So if you want to wait, you can. If you want to avoid it, I understand. I said slow pace, running the football, but I think it's a sneaky game. Despite the win, I still think that there'll be some touchdowns scored in this game. So I'm going to lean with that one. You know, a fourth one that I liked is Buffalo and Arizona. It's 56. It's a lot of points. I think we get to 60, but it's pretty risky. My parlay is Tampa, Philly, Baltimore, and Vegas. And you can get that at plus 316. I saw it actually before I came on. That's why I stuttered. It was on the board. It says plus 316, but I saw it before I came on. Bet MGM is plus 327. I know I got Philly in here a lot. That could burn me. I'm never really feeling them. The fact that I am could be it could be bad on my part, but let's keep the superstition and the silliness aside for a second. The Eagles are fully healthy and they're better than the Giants, so that's why I like them. And I have them here in my teaser as well. This is a seven-game teaser. Saints minus 3, Baltimore just the win, Packers by a touchdown, Eagles just not to lose by more than a field goal, Tampa not to lose by more than 1 point. I think they take care of the Panthers, especially after that shellacking last week. Seattle and the Rams, so I've teased that total down to 47.5, and then I teased that big total down from 56.5 to 49.5, and that's plus 700. Teasers always look so good, don't they? But something always seems to happen. That's going to do it for the picks and the props. My sleeper before we get out of here, if you're looking for a dart throw, it's Josh Reynolds. I like Josh Reynolds. I already mentioned basically why I like Josh Reynolds, because he's going up against Seattle and what they've been able not to do against quarterbacks and wide receivers. Pete Carroll, I can't believe they abandoned the run game. Can you believe that Buffalo abandoned the run game? No, Pete Carroll, I can't believe it. Yes, I can, because everyone has abandoned the run game against you. They're throwing the football because that's how you attack your secondary. So my sleeper is Josh Reynolds. So Reynolds, 17 targets, 8 grabs, 96 yards in his last two games, at least 44 yards or a touchdown in four straight games. I mentioned Seattle and all the wide receivers, you know, 17 different wideouts have at least 70 yards against him so far this season. But looking again at our free tools, he leads, Reynolds that is, the Rams in air yards, 312 and ADOT 14.18 over the last 4 weeks, a 32% target share over that span as well, leads all Rams. I think he's sneaky in DFS. I think he's sneaky in deeper leagues as a flex play. I think Goff will take a couple shots with him. Wouldn't be shocked if he has a touchdown. And then my other sneaky little play is Gesicki, as I mentioned earlier. Evan Engram in a really good spot this week as well, up against the Eagles. So a few DFS plays there for you, but a ton more over at ftndaily.com. As I mentioned, you can check out the video from Friday with myself, Kyle Murray, Javi, and D-Bro. Good luck. Hopefully the winners are yours. Hopefully you enjoy the football, and we will be back next week, early next week, to recap it all. If you have any questions, you can hit me up at Chris Meany. Subscribe, rate, review, send that over to meanstreetsftn@gmail.com for a chance to win that Allen Robinson autographed signed helmet, and then I will have a signed helmet to give away on this show next week as well. But you got to be subscribed. So subscribe and make sure you check out FTN. Subscribe over there because you're going to want a chance to win that PS5 happening next Monday. I'm Chris Meany. Have a good one. Cheers.